To the people of America, Cole speaks. Good evening, everyone. This is Alvin Helfer speaking for ACI and the producing companies of Appalachian Coals Incorporated, the producers and marketers of millions of tons of the world's finest high-volatile bituminous coal. The Berlin situation is a little nearer the inevitable showdown tonight. In Washington, there was a further discussion of the critical problem by President Truman and his top military and diplomatic advisors. There was no actual report on what was said, but it is known that official Washington is taking a very glum outlook on the whole matter. In the Netherlands, the foreign ministers of five nations began a conference on what to do next about the Soviet starvation blockade of Berlin. So far, no decision. The last of America's armada of 60 superforts has reached England and is ready to begin what army leaders have said are practice maneuvers. Yet, who can doubt that the real reason for the presence of the B-29s is to show Russia we are not backing down? There has been talk all day that the Western allies may decide to send an armored train or an armored truck convoy into Berlin anyway, with or without Russian permission. But this is doubtful. As for the Russians, there's no reason to believe they have decided to change course in Berlin, all of which points in only one direction, to a showdown that can begin at any moment. There's strong indication tonight that General de Gaulle is about ready to make his all-out bid to take over the French government. To him, apparently, the time is now. The opportunity presented itself in the latest crisis of the Schumann government. The premier insisted on a vote of confidence on the amount of funds for military preparedness. Meanwhile, General de Gaulle was addressing his political group, the Rally of the French People. He told his listeners, the time has come for them to take France by the hand and lead her. But he cautioned that it's up to the French people to agree voluntarily. So we can look for plenty of activity from the de Gaulle camp from now on. De Gaulle has lighted the fuse. Now it's just a question of how long it'll be before the full force of his political power explodes. Tom Dewey isn't wasting any time patching up those broken political fences. He's already talked with one of his biggest rivals in Philadelphia, Senator Taft. Now he's planning to chat with the other big rival he had for the presidential nomination, Harold Stassen. Mr. Dewey has invited Mr. Stassen to talk over the political situation, all of which means that Mr. Dewey is taking no chances of having any lukewarm support within the Republican Party. He wants to be sure he has complete backing of all GOP leaders. It's probable that Mr. Stassen will go along with Mr. Dewey. After all, there isn't much else he can do. Dewey is now the actual head of the Republican Party. True, this meeting of Dewey and Stassen may be a little thing, as general campaign politics goes, but little things do add up. They can make a difference. And it's significant that Mr. Dewey is slowly repairing whatever weaknesses may exist in the Republican Party at a time when, admittedly, Mr. Truman is having all kinds of trouble uniting the dissidents within the Democratic Party. Two authorities want to build a $400 million hydroelectric project on the St. Lawrence River. They applied for a permit today. The authorities are New York State and Ontario. They would divide the cost and hope to generate about 12.5 billion kilowatt hours per year. For $400 million, it becomes pertinent to ask, is it worth it? 53.5% of America's electricity is already made by coal-burning generators. By 1957, it's estimated 75% of our electricity will be derived from coal. Coal-burning electric generating plants are less glamorous than multi-million-dollar hydroelectric projects and consequently get less publicity. But wherever public authorities are against the squandering of public funds, they use coal and skip the publicity. The proposed $400 million hydroelectric plant on the New York-Canadian border could be built to run on steam for exactly half the price and still do the job. The theory that hydroelectric projects eventually pay for themselves because they use only water is a myth. In the words of Frank H. Fowle, noted utilities designer, you can build a steam plant and move coal to it 200 miles and do it cheaper than you can transport electricity the same distance. Hydroelectric power is for desert countries poor in coal deposits. America, richest coal-producing country in the world, will be richer for every steam plant substituted for some projected hydroelectric undertaking. Until tomorrow night, this is Alvin Helfer speaking for Appalachian Coals Incorporated and its producing companies. Good night.
This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.